Hymn numbers were 516, 572, 633, and 733. Well, following the order of service we received on the way in, beginning on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by sharing of peace and the procession of him. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and receive the confession. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We just deserve your blessing and eternal punishment. Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, whose mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins, as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us rise to face the center aisle and share the peace of the Lord with one another. Elect him aside. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And the pulpit aside. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is your God. You have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Singing of the All of the Universe.
Good morning. evening. I passed the plan of the idea, and I followed suit. So good evening. I'm here to give a children's message, and I got a guest here. My daughter Faith. See, my other children are at play date and waiting to get invited. And their mother, or her mother, my wife, she's at Kings Island with another girlfriend, and you know, we weren't invited. Then next to one of those daughters, she's at a birthday party, but only fourth graders were invited to that one. So here we are, but we're still dressed for the party, right? Because we got invited to the best party there ever was or is. This party, we don't even have to bring a gift. It's a free invite. And not only are we invited, all of you guys are invited. And everybody's invited, whoever has been and whoever will be. Everyone has been invited. And, you know, you see those little gift bags at the end of the party. So this gift bag, what they're giving away at that party, is the best gift you could ever receive. Is that something, a party you want to go to? Us too. And so a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so what's the heavenly meaning to the story I just told you? Well, who's in hosting a party that invited everybody? Well, that's right. That would be God. And what is that great gift that is the best gift you've ever received at that party? Well, that's right. That's forgiveness of sins and everlasting life won for us by Jesus. And why don't we have to bring any gifts to this party? Well, because it's all been done for us. There's nothing we need to provide. It's free, and it's just there waiting for us. Does that sound like a party we want to go to? Is that an invitation we would like to accept? Of course. So we pray. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, we know that your gifts are endless, and it humbles us to know that it is a free gift given to someone like us who falls short every day. But Lord, as we put on your robes of righteousness, we are welcome at your banquet feast in heaven, and we are so thrilled that this is our gift. Lord, have your Spirit moving us each day to be live in response to that great gift by sharing that news with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We continue with the sermon hymn. On the Shattered Bliss of Eden on page 10 and 11.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For many are called, but few are chosen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Gospel means good news, and yet this does not sound like good news. This sounds like a dire warning, which it is. Today's gospel reading is a warning to the Jewish religious leaders and the people of Jesus' time, and it is a warning still for us today. Many are called, but few are chosen. You're left to wonder, what about me? Am I one of the chosen? This is an issue about God's election of people to salvation, and it begs the question, why are some saved and others not? This question is called the crux theologorum. In Latin, it's the Latin for the cross of the theologian. It's an impossibly difficult question. Why are some saved and others not? These three things are true about salvation. First, Jesus died for the sins of all people. Therefore, there is universal grace. Second, you are saved by grace alone. And third, hell is real and people are going to go there. We know these are true from the Bible, and yet it seems that they contradict each other. It doesn't make sense that all three are true, and we like things to make sense, and so some folks, in order to solve the crux theologorum, they'll just pick two out of the three. Calvinists reject universal grace. They teach that we are saved by grace alone, but they teach that Jesus died only for the elect, not for all people. They teach that those whom God does not elect will go to hell. Synergists hold that salvation involves some sort of cooperation between God's grace and our human freedom. This is what Martin Luther rebelled against in the Roman Catholic Church. It's also present in many churches today that teach decision theology. Synergists believe in universal grace, that Jesus died for all people, but they reject that we're saved by grace alone. They believe that people are partly saved because they have made a decision for Jesus or because they have done the right good works. Many liberal churches, including many liberal Lutherans, reject hell. They believe Jesus died for all people and we are saved by grace, but that no one is condemned. They are quickly becoming universalists. In order to make God make sense, Calvinists reject universal grace. Synergists reject grace alone. Liberal theologians reject hell. We so much want to make God make sense, but we cannot. We do not get to change God's teachings to fit our rationalizations. God's ways are not our ways. All three of these teachings are true, even though it doesn't make sense to us. Jesus died for all people. You are saved by grace alone. Hell is real, and some people are going to go there. The Bible teaches that all three are true, and we do not get to change the Bible's teachings. Why are some saved and others not? Calvinists say it's God's choice to save some and condemn others. Synergists say it's man's choice to be saved or not. Universalists teach that all are saved. The Bible teaches, and Bible-believing Lutherans teach, that God saves and man condemns. God chooses to save you. People choose to condemn themselves by rejecting God's grace, by rejecting Jesus as their Savior from sin. So the Lutheran answer to the question, why are some saved but others not, is unsatisfying, because the answer is, we don't know. God does not tell us. The gospel reading today is difficult. In the first part, Jesus is teaching that he's teaching against the religious leaders who have been invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, but they're not interested. They reject the Father and the Son, and because of that, they are destroyed. Then the king invites everyone to his son's wedding feast, both the good and the bad, and the wedding hall is filled with guests. But one guest is not wearing a wedding garment, and he's speechless when asked how he got in. The man is tied up and thrown out into the outer darkness. For many are called, but few are chosen. The parable is disturbing because it shows that God is indeed Almighty God, and you are not. God is in charge, and God will judge those who reject Jesus. The king destroys those people, and their cities are burned. God is also judgmental toward the man not wearing the wedding garment. But what is this wedding garment? What does it mean to not have the wedding garment? This man is thrown into hell, and you ask yourself, could this be me? What does it mean to be not worthy? What does it mean to not have the wedding garment? The parable teaches that to be not worthy is to dishonor and reject the king and the wedding feast for his son. The parable is about Jesus. To be not worthy is to oppose, hate, and seek to destroy God's son. To not have a wedding garment is to reject Jesus and his forgiveness. Tomorrow is Confirmation Sunday for two of our young ladies at the 9:30 service. Confirmation is an opportunity for the young people to declare for themselves what was said for them at their baptism, that they renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways, and that they believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They also will confess they believe the Bible to be faithful and true, and they promise to remain faithful followers of Jesus for the rest of their lives. One question will be, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Over the years, I've presided over the confirmation of many young people. They each answered this question with, "I do, by the grace of God." Sadly, for some of those young people, it was the last time I ever saw them at church. Now, I cannot know their faith, but I fear that long-term voluntary separation from God's word and his sacrament of Holy Communion can lead you to reject Jesus. We all need Jesus. And yet so many people live as if Jesus' forgiveness is not essential. As if Jesus is an occasional accessory of life, but not necessary. This parable is a stern warning about the spiritual dangers lurking around that can harden your heart and slowly draw you away from a life honoring the Son. The Bible is full of these warnings. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. As for the seed that was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Many are called, but few are chosen. How do you know if you've been chosen? You know you've been chosen because God called you by name and you were born again in water and the Spirit. God marked you as his own and made a promise to you in your baptism. You are redeemed by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for your sins. You hear the good news of God's mercy and grace in Christ. You receive Jesus' body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. The confirmants tomorrow will wear white robes. Often at baptisms, the babies will be clothed in white. And at your funeral, as we wheel your casket into church, it'll be covered with a white funeral pall. And what do these symbolize? They're a picture of the white robe of Jesus' righteousness that covers over all your sin. You need the robe of Jesus' righteousness because there is no robe of your own righteousness. You cannot make yourself right with God. You cannot do it on your own. You need Jesus. And you have Jesus. God has chosen you to be his own child in baptism. He's given you a place at the wedding feast of the Lamb. It is yours. You are in Christ. You wear the robe of Jesus' righteousness. You know you need Jesus. You know you need his forgiveness. Resist the devil with his lies and accusations. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Stay connected to Jesus and his body, the church. Remain in Christ. Remember your baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Gather together in person or online if necessary to hear the word of God's forgiveness. Receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Live life as a forgiven child of God. Because you have faith in Jesus, the Messiah, God's Son. You are the chosen one of God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
In our prayers this evening, remember Karkin Walsh, a friend of Natalie Peters, who has a rare genetic disorder. For Paula Allen, who's fallen, broken her hip, it's been repaired, and she's recovering at home. For Carol Nott, who's been diagnosed with cancer or will need surgery. For Walter Seward, a friend of Dolores Bowen, who's been hospitalized with stomach ailments. And for Eileen Vicenna, who's under hospice care at Bradford, but nearing the end. Invited by your word and encouraged by your promise of mercy, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the church, for the leaders of the church, for all pastors and missionaries, for those preparing for church vocations, and for those considering full-time church service, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the blessing of marriage and faithfulness of husbands and wives, for the children entrusted in their care, for the loving care of children who have suffered abuse or neglect, and for those who open their homes to children in foster care, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for a welcoming spirit in our congregation, for boldness in our invitation to those without a church home, and for a willingness to serve our neighbor in need and a stranger whose lives cross our paths, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for compassion for the sick and those who suffer, for our care of those who need our assistance, for the hospitalized and those recovering, and especially for Harkin, Paula, Carolyn, Walter, Eileen, and those we name in our hearts. That God may grant them healing, comfort, strength, and peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for all elected and appointed civil servants, for all judges and magistrates, for all emergency personnel, for all members of the armed forces, and for all of us as citizens and neighbors, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our communion upon the body and blood of the Lord, and for hearts that burn with desire for the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom without end, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those preparing for baptism, for the catechumens, and for the places where we gather to teach and learn God's word, let us pray to the Lord. All these things, Lord, we pray you to grant us according to your mercy in Jesus Christ and to fill us with contentment, that trusting in your gracious will for all things, our hearts may enjoy perfect rest and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Praising you and saying,
bear our sin and to be our Savior. With repenting joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.